WCRI's Festival Series highlights one of our community's greatest musical traditions, the Newport Music Festival. Since 1969, the Newport Music Festival has hosted over 2,000 concerts in Rhode Island's most prestigious venues, while presenting world-renowned and emerging classical music artists from around the globe. The Newport Music Festival has left an indelible mark on our music history here in Rhode Island, as well as around the world. Now, here's host Mike Mano, along with the festival's executive director, Pamela Pantos.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another special episode of the Newport Music Festival's special series here on WCRI. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Pamela Pantos, the new executive director of the music series. Welcome, Pamela. Nice to see you.
Thank you so much, Mike.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. It's that time of year.
It absolutely is.
It's, you know, we've had a little snow the last couple of weeks, mm-hmm. and getting that feeling in the air, so it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Oh, there you go. Now, have you finished your Christmas shopping?
I am a last-minute kind of
guy.
Yeah, I'm a last-minute kind of guy. So.
And I'm a planner, as you can guess. So.
Well, I'm a planner, but I just don't seem to get there in a timely fashion. Well, let's see. What do we have for our music that we're going to get us into the season?
Well, actually, it's quite interesting. I've been doing a lot of research this year, and specifically about holiday music. And the term Christmas carol came up a great deal. And so I thought, really, what differentiates a carol from a song? So this evening, I thought we'd take a stroll through the incredibly beautiful repertoire of Christmas carols.
All right.
So we're going to jump right in with a piece that is truly uplifting and appropriate for the season, namely The Carol of the Bells. This piece is based on a Ukrainian folk song written to wish the winter well, and it actually tells the story of a swallow that flies into a home to proclaim to the family that it will be a prosperous year, hence the original name of the piece, namely Shchedrik, based on the Ukrainian word bountiful. It was written in 1916 by Mykola Leontovich and was brought to the United States when the Ukrainian National Chorus was on tour. They sold out Carnegie Hall in October of 1921, and that American choir director Peter Wihuski heard them, and transcribed it for his choir, and the rest is history. So here is the Carol of the Bells performed by the Mormon Tabernacle Choir.
Christmas is in, brown, new, and cheer, clean, and old, young, and the world, big, coming round, round.
certainly puts us in the mood. I'm ready to go now.
Absolutely. So just a little history about carols. They were first sung in Europe thousands of years ago, but they were not Christmas carols. They were originally pagan songs sung at the winter solstice celebrations as people danced around stone circles. Think Stonehenge.
Sure.
The word carol actually means a dance or a song of praise and joy. So the carols were originally written and to be sung during all four seasons, but only the tradition of singing them at Christmas has really survived, which is, I think, fascinating. So the early Christians took over the pagan solstice celebrations for Christmas and suddenly gave people Christian songs to sing instead of the pagan ones. And as early as 129 AD, a Roman bishop said that they should be singing angel hymns. So after this, composers all over Europe started to write Christmas carols. But not many people liked them because they were all written and sung in Latin. And most people, normal people, didn't, you know, speak or read Latin.
Yeah.
So by the Middle Ages, most people had lost interest in celebrating Christmas altogether and certainly singing these Christmas carols. And this was changed by St. Francis of Assisi, who in 1223 started nativity plays. So the people in these plays sang songs or canticles, but they were all in their vernacular language so that the people watching them could understand and join in. And carols suddenly spread throughout Europe. So this first carol, O Come, Emmanuel, we believe originates from the 12th century. And it is one of the earliest surviving pieces that we know of. And the hymn's text is actually referenced to a document that we have that was published in Cologne in 1710. And this particular hymn was a major force in the history of German church music. So going back to the Middle Ages, let's listen to this carol, which is actually not a Christmas carol, but an Advent hymn. So not strictly a carol, but an important piece in terms of the development of the tradition of vocal choral music associated with the Christmas holiday. So let's listen to the Robert Shaw Chamber Singers with O Come, Emmanuel.
Oh,
So now we will discuss another one of the earliest known carols as we know it today, Good Christian Men Rejoice, which was originally set to the Latin text, In Dulci Jubilo. The original song text was a combination of medieval German and Latin, and it was written about 1328. And when we combine two languages like this in a text, we call it Macaronic. So the tune first appears in Codex 1305 and actually exists today in a manuscript that they still have in the Leipzig University Library, dating from about 1400. What's interesting about this is they kept changing the verses and adding to them as time went on, and they believe that even Martin Luther himself might have added a verse of this song at the time, so which is absolutely fascinating. And the melody was quite popular, and it appears all over the place, even in Sweden and Finland, as parts of sacred and secular medieval songs. The version that we know was the text was added by W.J. Westbrook in the 1800s. So again, a very, very old tune and text that we now know as Good Christian Men Rejoice. And this is being performed by the Royal Philharmonic Chorus and Orchestra. So as time went on, habits changed, and rather than singing carols in churches, people began singing them in homes and other places as well. So traveling singers or minstrels started singing these carols, and words were changed so that local people could understand them wherever they were traveling. One of the carols that emerged or evolved like this over time was I Saw Three Ships, and it is actually one of the earliest extant carols in the form that we know carols to be today. So we have this wonderful recording of Jesse Norman and the American Boys Choir singing I Saw Three Ships.
We will listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more.
I saw three ships come sailing. Christmas Day, I saw three ships come sailing on Christmas Day in the morning. The Virgin Mary and Christabel on Christmas Day, on Christmas Day. The Virgin Mary and Christabel on Christmas Day in the morning.
Christmas Day, on Christmas Day.
Oh, we sing it to Bethlehem.
On
Welcome back to WCRI's special presentation of the Newport Music Festival series. With me is Pamela Pantos, I'm Mike Maino, and we are having a wonderful evening finding out about holiday music and specifically carols. I'm learning a lot of things that I didn't know, as usually is the case here on these programs. So Pamela, back to you.
Thank you so much, Mike. It's really interesting. This next piece that we're going to discuss is one of the earliest carols in the form that we know them in today. It's the Coventry Carol. It dates back to the 16th century. This carol was traditionally performed in Coventry in England, hence the name, and it was part of a nativity play. This carol itself refers to the Massacre of the Innocents, in which Herod, the king, ordered all of the male infants under the age of 2 in Bethlehem to be killed. So this piece is actually a lullaby sung by the mothers of these doomed children. The author's unknown, and the oldest known text was written down in about 1534, and the oldest known setting of the melody dates from 1591. So this is a very different kind of a carol. And we have a recording here by the remarkable Harry Christophers and the 16, who have done so much for the authenticity of performance styles. So we will listen to their presentation of the Coventry Carol.
Bye-bye, Lord.
When the Puritans came to power in England in the mid-1600s, the celebration of Christmas and singing carols was stopped. However, carols survived, and people still sang them in secret. But by the time we get to the Victorian period and things got much more fun...
just picture people meeting in corners and go, let's go sing a Christmas carol.
They literally did because, you know, everything was, you know, hunkered down.
Right.
But then, you know, orchestras and choirs were being set up in all the cities all over England, and people wanted to celebrate and have Christmas songs. So carols once again became popular and were sung in the streets. And many new carols, such as Good King Wenceslas, were written. I love the recording that we're about to hear, as it is sung by a men's and a boys' English choir. And I think it truly evokes a sense of Victorian England. So here is the choir of the Tewkesbury Abbey School, directed by Andrew Sackett and Good King Wenceslas. Musically speaking, a carol has actually a very specific definition. It is a song, characteristically of religious joy, associated with a given season, especially Christmas, in which uniform stanzas or verses alternate. So a great deal of traditional and popular Christmas music does not actually meet the strict definition of carol. So the term Christmas carol has come in our period of time to actually kind of refer to any song in a variety of styles that references Christmas or the Christmas season.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
That's not a carol. That's not a carol. But now we are actually going to hear a very traditional Christmas carol, Adeste Fideles, O Come All Ye Faithful, which was originally Latin And this piece has actually been attributed to several different authors. The, you know, every time you read, somebody says, oh, no, this person wrote it and this person wrote it. The most interesting thing, I think, is that some people think that King John IV of Portugal in the 1600s wrote this piece, because there's actually a manuscript of this hymn bearing his name that is that they have found and is in the Ducal Library. So it's very, very interesting. But there's a plethora of recordings of these pieces, and sometimes they border on the operatic rather than embodying the nature of the text. So here I've selected a recording by the choir of King's College that I think is translucent in its musical presentation, and I hope that our listeners enjoy it.
We will listen to it, and I'm sure enjoy it, and be back with more. Welcome back. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Pamela Pantos of the Newport Music Festival series, and we are enjoying holiday music that Pamela has gathered and is telling us about, and very interesting, some of the background, always interesting things that you bring to us. And Christmas just a week away. Doesn't seem possible, but it's getting to be that time.
Well, when you listen to this music, it really feels like Christmas. So we started with the Carol of the Bells at the beginning of the program and went through a journey of the development of traditional Christmas carols. And I'd like to leave our listeners with one of the most beautiful 20th century compositions that embodies the spirit of the pieces that we've been listening to, namely Benjamin Britten's Ceremony of Carols. Anyone who has ever heard this piece sung live by a children's choir or has had the honor of being in a children's choir and singing this piece knows that it's one of those mysterious experiences that is truly personally transformative. So I'm going to give a little bit of background and then let our listeners enjoy several movements from this remarkable piece of music. It is a grouping of carols that starts with a processional at the beginning and has a recessional at the end, which is based upon the Gregorian chant, Hodie Christus Natus Est. This piece is accompanied by harp only, and it really gives one the sense that we are listening to a choir of angels. There are 12 movements in total, and we will listen to 6 of them. So the first piece that we're going to hear, There Is No Rose, is based upon a song from the early 15th century. The text admires the beauty of the birth of Jesus Christ, and it's both in a vernacular English and in Latin. So at the end of each sentence, there is a Latin word. For example, there is no rose of such vertu as is the rose that bear Jesu, Alleluia. The second piece, Balulalo, which is translated as cradle song, is a lullaby for baby Jesus, and the soprano solo at the beginning of the movement paints an image of the Virgin Mary singing a lullaby to her newborn child. The third piece, This Little Babe, is a contrast to every other piece up until this point. It takes a very dark approach and uses imagery of hell. And the piece actually depicts a battle between baby Jesus and Satan, with a joyous outcome at the end. And I'm going to read this text because it is so fascinating. This little babe, so few days old, is come to rifle Satan's fold. All hell doth at his presence quake, though he himself for cold do shake. For in his weak, unarmed, wise, the gates of hell he will surprise. With tears he fights and wins the field, his naked breast stands for a shield. His battering shot are babish cries, his arrows, looks of weeping eyes. His martial ensigns, cold and need, and feeble flesh, his warrior steed. His camp is pitched in a stall, his bulwark but a broken wall. The crib, his trench, haystacks his stakes. Of shepherds he his muster makes. And thus, as sure his foe to wound, the angel's trump's alarm sound. My soul with Christ join thou in fight, sticks to the tents that he hath pight. Within his crib is surest ward, this little babe will be thy guard. If thou wilt foil thy foes with joy, then flit not from this heavenly boy. The fourth piece that we will hear in Freezing Winter Night talks about the circumstances of the birth of Christ. And what you'll hear in this music is it really gives you the sense that you are out in the cold and absolutely freezing. It's quite remarkable. The fifth piece, Deo Gracias, Thanks Be to God, is again this macaronic text, a mix of Latin and English, and it's a poem from the 15th century. This actually has nothing to do with the birth of Christ, but goes back and talks about Adam's sin and the apple, and really it's quite interesting at its place here in the set because it goes way, way back. And at the end of the piece, they talk about the cross and the crucifixion of Christ as well as the redemption of mankind. So this text is really about Deo Gracias, praise be to God for everything that he has done for us. The last piece, the recession, is a mirror of the procession that started this ensemble. And usually it's done as the boys' choir or the children's choir is exiting from the stage and it just fades into the background. And the text is, Hodie Christus natus est, hodie Salvator apparuit. So we will listen to the choir of the New College, Oxford, with the Ceremony of Carols by Benjamin Britten. On behalf of the Newport Music Festival, we wish you one and all the merriest of Christmases and happy holidays for you and your loved ones.
Pamela, the best to you. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and from all of us at WCRI, we wish you the happiest of holiday seasons.
Follow with this joyful bound.
Thank you for listening to WCRI's Festival Series featuring the Newport Music Festival. For more information on the festival, special seasonal concerts, to purchase tickets, or to donate, call 849-0700 or visit newportmusic.org.